All right, let's take our Bibles and go to John 15. John 15, we'll begin in verse 17 in just a moment, going through verse 25. You know, part of the main responsibility of the pastor is to perfect the saints for the work of the ministry. We find that in Ephesians 4, 11, and 12. And to warn the church about sin, to warn the church about false teachers and about false teaching, false doctrine, and to kind of just oversee the flock and the wounded, those that are straying, and things like that, but to feed the church of God, that they may be perfected for the work of the ministry. And part of that is, I've always felt, and y'all know my philosophy, is to warn you about persecution, is to warn you about your faith is going to cost you something down the road, if it hasn't already. So today is that theme, if you will. Our faith for us has, you know, we've relatively been free of persecution. But I want to warn you about persecution that is coming. There's a great move in our country and our land in hatred for Christians and hatred for Jews. And it's going to increase as we get closer to the Lord's return. In fact, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 10:25, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves as together is a matter of some, but much more as you see the day approaching. And so as we come under persecution, now notice I didn't say the tribulation, we'll miss that. But there's going to be an increase in persecution. And so today I want to share with you a message out of John 15 that I kind of touched on it some in the past. Why the world hates Jesus, Christians, and Donald Trump. Now, let me understand me right off the bat. Donald Trump, I would not call him a righteous man. But I believe that he's on the right track. He's got Billy Graham's son, Franklin, around him. He's got Robert Jeffries. He's got Jack Graham. And I don't know if you saw the rally he had in Miami the other day. How many of you saw that with evangelicals? Those people on the stage with him don't believe like we do. Nobody, there wasn't but one on that stage, and that was Jack Graham. But he's got some men like that who have his ear, and they can kind of talk to him. And, you know, who knows what the Lord's going to do with him to start with. But again, we didn't elect a pastor, we elected a president. Amen. And I'm in favor of his policies. Surely God has used him to bless us and give us another chance, because if the wrong people get in there in the future, and I do believe he's going to win the next election by a landslide, but if the others get in there, you better get ready to suffer for your faith, okay? So today we see why the world hates Jesus, Christians, and Donald Trump. Nobody walking out here this morning say Brother Ken said that Donald Trump was a righteous man. I don't think he's where he needs to be yet. But we're just going to pray that Lord open his heart. Amen. Now, let's start out with Donald Trump, first of all, before I read our text. And again, why does the world hate this man so much? What is the world system? It's the world system. Why do they hate him so much? Well, I sat down the other night and wrote down a list. Because he has interrupted their socialistic, totalitarian, economic, and globalistic agenda. He's not a globalist. They hate him for his stand on national sovereignty. He believes that a nation should have borders. And God, if you look, had borders. He set up borders with countries. Even the New Jerusalem has a wall around it. Amen? And nations without borders is a globalistic community. And it's all leading to one world faith, one world government. That's what they want. And then Donald Trump interrupted their little progress on that area. And that's what he means by America first. He doesn't mean, we don't take care of some of the world that we need to. He means that we need to take care of our own people first and what it means. And they hate him for his pro-life and pro-Israel stand. He is for Israel. He is pro-life. And guess what? Satan hates both. He hates Israel, right? Satan hates pro-life. Satan hates life. And Brother Ray brought up in the message this morning, as I did last week, Herod killing estimated maybe 14,000 babies trying to kill the Christ child. And we say, well, that's bad, that's terrible. But the last stats I looked since Roe versus Wade, 60 million babies America has killed. So we don't need to knock Herod too bad, right? We've killed babies too. Now, they hate him for his pro-religious freedom. And the other side does not want us to have religious freedom. They want to keep us in the church house, and they want to keep us quiet, and they don't want the expression of freedom of religion like we have it today. And that's why they misinterpret the Constitution. The Constitution does not say, it says the free exercise thereof, right? And it seems like there's the free exercise thereof of Islamic teaching, Muslim teaching, all the cults. But when you talk about Christ, I don't know if you heard him at the rally the other day. He talked about and gave hint to the fact about prayer coming back in schools. So we need to pray for that. And they hate him also because he's for the Second Amendment. If you're going to have a group of people take over America and a totalitarian government, you're going to have get rid of all the good boys with the guns. Right? And so he's Second Amendment. And I am a Second Amendment person too. I don't believe in chipping away at your right to bear arms and to keep arms. And this is what's wrong with this red flag law that they passed. Now, you're going to have the government deciding that you are mentally ill and can't have a gun. Guess what? All evangelical Christians will be mentally ill, right? And so I am not for that. And they hate him because he's a fixer and not a politician. And I never thought I'd see the day when they would hate our president more than they do a terrorist. And I heard some weird things this week. Don't worry, I'll get into the Bible in a minute. But I heard some weird things this week that they should have been informed about what he was going to do. Now, come on, think about that. Donald Trump was going to inform the party that's trying to impeach him, right? Can't you see Adam Schiff talking to the New York Times? Pelosi wouldn't be able to talk to nobody. She can't get it out of her mouth. But don't you, how crazy that is. You only had a limited amount of time to take this guy out, right? And so they said he should have been informed. And then I've heard them say this week that Donald Trump has no secondary plan. He don't know what he's going to do after this. I mean, are they crazy or what? I mean, they weren't in the war room when this was going on. They don't know nothing about what they're talking about. They are the ones that don't have a plan. They can't beat him, so they're going to try to impeach him, right? And I don't know. I got so much to say about that, but I better go on. Yeah, they said he's going to start a war. Oh, so we're just supposed to let people kill our people, right? Yeah. You know, this man that Donald Trump had taken out killed hundreds of. They said there's 600 Gold Star families because of this Soleimani fella. Yeah. And yet we're supposed to lay down and let nothing happen? Folks, I'm telling you, you can see right away, watch the news, you can see right away who loves the terrorists, right? In fact, the AOC said that Donald Trump is a war criminal and he needs to be impeached. You know, a war criminal because he defends America.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I mean, I'm mad now. I'm too mad to preach. I mean, okay. But look at our text in John 15, beginning in verse 15. Jesus here, let me tell you before I give you the context here that the first official persecution of Christians came under Nero in July of A.D. 64. And it began a period of 10 intense persecutions upon the church that lasted to A.D. 313. So Jesus here, in a transition from giving them comfort in the preceding verses, now in verse 17, he takes them, draws them away from comfort to the hostility that they can expect because they were a follower of him. They would need each other. They would need to love each other and be around each other. I'm telling you, folks, as we get closer to these things coming, we need the people of God. Amen? And we need each other to draw comfort from one another. So that's what he says in verse 17. Notice verse 17. These things I command you that you love one another. Now, he's been giving them some good good teaching, some good things about who they were and what they need to be about and all that. But then he changes here in the transition, verse 17, these things that you love one another. Now notice what he says in verses, beginning in verse 18. This is why the world hates Jesus, and this is why the world hates Christians. Now notice verse 18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. And if they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and had spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. That's another reason why they hate Trump, because they have no cloak for their sin, right? And then he says here in verse 23, he that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin, but now have they both seen and hateth both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in the law, they hated me without a cause. Now, I want to share with you today from this text why the world hates Jesus and why the world hates you, okay? I've already expounded upon why the world hates Donald Trump. But why does the world hate Jesus so much? And why does the world hate you as Christians so much? Well, the world hates Jesus, they hate Christians, and they hate Donald Trump. I want to share with you three reasons why the world hates. Number one, verses 18 and 19. The world loves their own, and you are not one of them. The world loves their own, and you are not one of them. Look in verse 18 again. If the world hates you, you know that it hateth me before it hateth you. The world refers to the evil world system, the fallen world system made up of unregenerate people, headed up by Satan and later on by the Antichrist, and is controlled by Satan with all the godless ideologies and mindsets and values and philosophies. But the Bible says we were called out of the world. We no longer think like them. We no longer act like them. But Satan hates God and us, his children. The world, Jesus says, love not the world. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you, right? In fact, James said this, he that loves the world is not a friend of Jesus. You can't be a friend of Jesus and a friend of the world at the same time. Why does the world ruler and his evil system hate Jesus and us so much? Verse 19, if you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, I have chosen you out of the world before, therefore the world hateth you. Now, he has called us out of the world. When he saved us, he took us out of darkness into light. We are in the kingdom of light. We are in the kingdom of God. We're not in the kingdom of Satan, okay? So we're not in the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. I try to teach that to a lot of folks, but they don't understand that. Pastor, how can I be in the world but not of the world? Well, we're still in this creation that God has made, and we hobnob with the world system every day, but we don't love what we used to love. We're not in the darkness anymore. We don't have the same ideologies. We know that abortion is murder. It's not the mother's choice. We know that same-sex marriage is sin. Have you heard this week that the United Methodist Church has voted, and they're going to vote on it some more, but that half of the people in the United Methodist Church who are against gay clergy and same-sex marriage are going to have the opportunity, Christine, to go out and form their own denomination, yeah. Right? And my thing is, why were they in there to start with, right? Yeah. And so we have denominations all around us that have apostatized. We're in the world, but not of the world. We don't act like the world. And we got to be careful that we don't be tainted by the world. Yes, we need to fellowship. We need to talk to lost people and all this, but not to the point that their customs and their mindsets and their beliefs rub back on us and that we're conformed to the world rather than being transformed by the renewing of our mind, right? Amen. And that's what he's talking about. Why does the world hate us so much? Because you are not subjects of this world. If you were the world, they would love you. I don't watch any Hollywood programs on TV, any rewards they have, and they celebrate their sin, and they celebrate this, and they celebrate that, and but they don't love you because you're not one of them, right? You're called out of the world system, but we live in the world, but we're not of the world, okay? And they hate us because our godly lives condemn them, their ungodly lives. That's why they make fun of you. That's why they blaspheme Christ. That's why they blaspheme Christians. And I've shared in the past, recently I shared with you about my brother who hates all homophobics and preachers. And that's my brother. I love him. But, you know, what is a homophobic? That's a name made up by the world, right? We don't hate homosexuals. We hate their sin, right? And so, homophobic, what? I'm phobic, a sin phobic, if you will, right? I mean, I don't know what you'd call me, but they hate you because you don't applaud and celebrate their ungodly lifestyles. See? So the world applauds evil deeds of its own and calls good evil and evil good. Did you ever think you'd ever see that prophecy come to pass? Well, it's here. You can tell a lot about a person by how the world treats them. You know, they'll celebrate the Pope, right? They'll celebrate this person, this teaching. They'll celebrate this. They'll celebrate that. But people like us, me and Brother Glenn, who preaches the Word of God unhindered and not polluted, they're not going to love you, right? They're not going to love you. You don't have to be like the world. You don't have to make it your goal to have the world love you to be a follower of Christ, right? Because Jesus says if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. But then, not only does the world love their own and you're not one of them, but secondly, the world hates Jesus and you love Jesus. Look in verse 18, the latter part of verse 18 and verse 20, if you will. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Look in verse 20. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. They hated Jesus, and therefore they hate us. Now, why do they hate Jesus so much? I thought about that this week, too. And I'm quite amazed. Sometimes I'm just amazed at myself. I sit down and meditate upon the Word of God and the things that, you know, hey, I mean, the Lord speaks to me, you know, and well, don't get up and leave. I'm not Benny Hinn, okay? But why do they hate Jesus so much? Well, knowing what we know about the Bible, I want to share six reasons with you. Because he's God's beloved son and Satan is not. Satan wanted to be in control in heaven. He was cast out. We'll talk more about that tonight. They hate the Son of God. He came as a Jew to redeem mankind, Genesis 3:15. They hate Jews automatically because it says that his seed will hate her seed, right? And he came as a Jew. And the world, I don't have to tell you, the world hates Jews, right? And they're plotting their demise even as I was speaking. And Soleimani was plotting more lives' demise. And they had a limited time for that drone to come in there and blow his car up. I'm not going to say what I was about to say. And then number three, he came to free people from sin and bondage. Satan loves. He loves to keep people in bondage to sin. Satan loves sins. He's the author of sin. And he loves darkness. But Jesus Christ came to free people from their sins. And he hates that. He hates that. And also, number four, he hates Jesus because Jesus gives life while Satan gives death. And number five, they love their sin and the evil deeds of darkness more than they love light. In fact, that's in Ephesians. And number six, Jesus came as the only way to heaven, excluding the broad road of religion. That's why they hate him. They can't go to heaven on the broad road carrying all their baggage. Yeah. It's a narrow way. It's a way of commitment. It's a way of denying yourself, taking up your cross daily and following him. It's a way of repentance. It's a ray of a changed life, and they don't like the narrow way. They want the broad way. We're all going to go, and we're all going to be there. Throw doctrine out the window. It doesn't matter. You're going to get there somehow. That's a lie from Satan, right? And that's that what they want us to believe. That's one of the great reasons why they hate Jesus, because he preached a narrow way to heaven. Look in verse 20. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they hate, they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. The disciples were to expect suffering and have no right to expect better treatment than the world gave Jesus Christ. You know, we need to pray for our missionaries, because our missionaries are in places right now and that the cause of Christ is being persecuted. You know? And we're sitting here, comfortable church, padded pews, cameras around us. We're sitting here, but they're out there on the front lines, possibly could be killed tomorrow for sharing Jesus Christ. Right? And I'm telling you tonight, if you do not give any money to our missionary effort, you need to be ashamed of yourself. I'm telling you today, and I'll tell you tonight too, but I'm telling you that. We need to support our missionary efforts. We don't deserve any better than Jesus deserved. Interestingly, the Bible speaks much of the promise of persecution. And I don't want to keep hammering my old boy, but, you know, he's such an easy target. Joel Osteen, Benny Hinn, Joyce Myers, Creflo Dollar. Man, I mean, I think he's got the right name to be a prosperity gospel preacher, right? Creflo Dollar, right? Think about it. Think about it here. You're not going to hear these things from them, right? You know, and when the persecution comes, guess what? Because they haven't stood for the gospel and for Christ, they're probably not going to be touched, because they hadn't brought enough gospel in the pulpit to convict anybody, right? Matthew chapter 10, verse 24 said this, "And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute in this city, flee into another. For verily I say unto you, you shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord." So the world hates Jesus, and you love Jesus. That's why they hate you. But then there's a third reason why the world hates Jesus and us, and that's found in verse 21 and 25. The world doesn't know God, and you do. Now, listen to your pastor closely. I taught you these things, but do you understand there's people in Baptist churches today that are teaching that Islam is okay? They have the same God we have? That's terrible, isn't it? Allah is a doctrine of demons. I saw anything outside of Christ and the true church is a doctrine of demons. Okay? False religion is a doctrine of demons. And they're being deceived. Notice verse 21. He says, "But all these things will they do to you in my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If they had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also." Let's stop right there. The world persecutes the followers of Christ, but ultimately we are persecuted because we follow Christ. That's it. They hate Jesus so much, and they're going to persecute those who follow him, right? Remember Paul gathering up Christians, taking them on the way to Damascus to get more? Remember Paul, right? And the Lord appeared to him and said, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Right? I'm telling you, and we know Revelation, and we know that there's coming a time when vengeance is the Lord's. Those who persecute Christians will pay the price one day, right? The martyrdom of saints all through the centuries are going to be rectified when Christ comes again. And so verse 22 tells us that those who heard Jesus or the gospel are in willful sin of rejecting full revelation. You know, that's the sin that the unbeliever commits. Not only do they reject Jesus, but they reject God's full divine revelation, right? Through his son. This is the unforgivable sin, to die in your sins, rejecting the gospel, right? That's the, if you're under the sound of my voice and you're hearing the gospel this morning, listen, listen. You haven't committed the unpardonable sin unless you die without Christ. That's what he's talking about. Notice verse 24 and 25. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin, but now they have both seen and hated me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled. Now he's fixing to quote two Old Testament prophecies. That the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. The world's rejection of Christ is unexcusable. Yet not, now listen to me closely, but yet not outside God's sovereign plan. Okay? And he quotes two psalms here, two psalms by David, that they hated me without a cause. Why does Jesus quote two psalms by David in Psalms 35:19 and Psalms 69:4? His point is this. If the enemies of a mere man like David hated him, how much more would the enemies of God hate the very Son of God? Okay? So you cannot expect any better than what they gave Jesus. So the world loves their own, and you are not one of them, right? Amen? The world hates Jesus, and you love Jesus. See, before you got saved, there was no conflict going on with you. There was no struggle going on, right? Until you were dwelt with the Holy Spirit of God, and then the flesh and the spirit began to war, right? Before you got saved, there was no conflict. There was no war going on. You did not enter spiritual war until you got saved, right? Now, the world loves their own, and you're not one of them. The world hates Jesus, and you love Jesus. The world doesn't know God, and you do. Now, listen to your closer, pastor, very closely. I want you to come up close in your ears. Listen to me very closely. In this day that we're living in, you can't be a friend of God and a friend of the world. You can't be. I'm not talking about creation. I'm not talking about mankind. I'm talking about the world evil system, right? Headed up by Satan. And if you're here today and you never had a chance to hear the gospel, I want you to know today that Christ died for your sins. He was buried, and he rose again the third day. If you'll come to him in repentance and faith, trusting totally in the work of Jesus on the cross, God has given us a promise today that he will save us. Amen? That's the gospel, the good news. Father, thank you today that we can make clarity of what's going on in the world. We know, Father, we know what's going on because we know the Bible. All this is not going to rectify itself. It's going to get worse and worse till you come. So, Father, we pray today, first of all, if there's one here without Christ, I pray today will be the day that they come forward and say, Pastor, I want to be saved. I want to come out of the world. I want to come into the kingdom of God, and I want to have a new life. I want to follow Christ. I want to bear my cross. I want to deny myself. I want to be imitators of Jesus Christ. Whatever that might be, you have that opportunity this morning. Maybe today you want to come around this altar and pray for loved ones that are in darkness. They're in the world system of the evil world, Satan. And maybe you want to come to this altar and pray for them. As long as they can hear the gospel, Lord, and before they die without Christ, they still have a chance. So, Father, I pray today for that. Maybe there's others here that want to do other business. Maybe unite with this church or whatever they want to do. Maybe they haven't been scripturally baptized. They want to be baptized. They want to be immersed as a follower of Christ. Whatever it might be today, we want to give them that opportunity to respond to the Word of God. Father, have your will and way in this service, and we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Awesome.